This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning, hey, I'm say evening, evening. Morning, morning, hey, I'm say evening, evening. 12 o'clock is like a melting pot in a Kingston when the sun gets hot. Water run, me say straight through your back. Never know, say Lord, I saw the city up. Say morning, it is cool and charming. I mean say evening, evening. When it's all and good, real rumble jumble. Tell them say the whole world a crumble.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, March 12th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. This is C.A. Nuri, and we talking about what is happening in tourism. I like talking about tourism, and I have Aaron Green on the line with me still, as we are going to talk about RCL and the commentary which is in the news. We're going to talk about the Chief Justice and his ruling, because something is wrong happening on Bay Street. And of course, Aaron has all the details and all the notes, because I asked her to make sure read up on that. But Aaron, are you there?
Yes, good morning again. Good morning.
Did you see the Chief Justice ruling? Apparently, I don't know if we could call the names of the company. Apparently, there are businesses on Bay Street that are, what the word is, are...
The term used by the Chief Justice in the ruling is fronting.
Yes. Yes. Fronting. For foreigners to open up businesses downtown. And I know for a while we've been having conversations saying, well, there's a lot of different looking Bahamians on Bay Street, and they were foreigners, not Bahamians, and just playing there, who seems to be directly competing with Bahamian businesses. And we were wondering, are they like Bahamians, but like Bahamian citizenship, or these are foreign people who permeate our tourism sector on a retail business? And then to know that there is a recent ruling by the Chief Justice that yes, there are businesses. I mean, businesses that we and Bahamians that you consider should know better. I guess we should call in names since it's in the news. Who should know better than to have our tourism product infiltrated by foreigners? And I am concerned. I am concerned about that, because as I analyze whose Bahamas are we building this for? Whose tourism are we building this for? Whose benefit we are getting? All this is piling up on us. And I say we need to press pause. We need to press pause on this remote control and reevaluate what is it that we are trying to sell and who is it that we are trying to benefit.
Absolutely. I think if not the last 30 years, the last 10 years of development throughout New Providence and the rest of the archipelago has caused this question to come to the fore multiple times. Who is the tourism product for? Who are we working for? Who are we building this country for? And who is supposed to benefit primarily, principally, exclusively? Who is supposed to benefit from the work of Bahamians in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
Yes, and the Chief Justice asked this question, or said this inside the article. The Chief Justice has ruled that illegality was a major part of the Bay Street retail fronting deal involving one of the Nassau's most prominent Greek Bahamian families. Illegality. Mm-hmm. That's some strong word to use. And if the Chief Justice says illegality, I think all members of society need to call this Greek Bahamian family. What you're trying to do to us?
Now, before we go there, right? Let's not single out.
They get found guilty. You know anyone else who got found guilty?
I mean, I will say no, I don't know anyone else.
So they get single out then.
Right. But let's read, because I want to read from the article, right?
Read from the article.
The article is Chief Justice exposes, quote, unquote, fronting on Bay Street. And this is an article in the Nassau Tribune, I think from last week, either the 9th or the 10th of March. You read, the first sentence you read is from that article. The Chief Justice has ruled that illegality was a major part of a Bay Street retail fronting deal involving one of Nassau's most prominent Greek Bahamian families. The article continues. So Ian Winder, in a March 3rd, 2023 verdict, found that ZRK Limited, owned and controlled by the Scandalaris family, had signed an agreement with two U.S. investors.
What's that family name again?
Scandalaris.
Just making sure you call it out loud. Scandalaris family. I see you all. Go ahead.
That was designed to circumvent the national investment policy stipulation that retail businesses are reserved for Bahamian ownership only. The deal, which involved the operation of a Bay Street beauty and cosmetics store under the Trafoir Lioness brand names, is, quote, oft described in the Bahamian vernacular as a fronting operation, close quotes, he noted. And Sir Ian said the venture appeared to have violated multiple Bahamian laws, including those related to immigration, work permits, the VAT and business license acts, payment of NIB contributions, and exchange. Justice's verdict thus shines a rare light on the long-known practice of Bahamians fronting, close quotes, for foreign investors, so that the latter can secretly operate businesses and sectors of this nation's economy purportedly reserved for local ownership only, while hiding their control and earning most, if not all, the profits that are then sucked out of this jurisdiction.
And Aaron, for years, Bahamians have been calling the talk show and saying, hey, we see a group of people selling cosmetics downtown. We know where it was. We know who owned that former restaurant which closed down and now has a cosmetic store there. And we said, but there's no business inside there. What are those foreign people doing inside there? Why are they just selling retail? Shouldn't retail be constituted? Now, you could own the place, but you can't be selling and recommending cosmetics over the counter. Something is wrong with that. How do they get work permits to do that? For years, we've been talking about these people.
And listen, Cecil, I'll take a moment just to note that I'm certain that on multiple occasions, people would have called shows that I've been a part of and asked the same question. And the answer that I would have given them is that we still have to tread carefully, because there are people who are Bahamian and not white or African descent, right?
That was the excuse we were given.
Say?
That was the excuse we were given. The better facts. No, man, they got to be Bahamians. They have to be Bahamians.
So like the Tribune, right? The article continues. Tribune businesses over the years received multiple complaints and allegations of such practices. But those making the claims have either failed to provide supporting evidence or declined to place their assertions on the record. So we're sort of both saying, we have heard of it. People have complained of it. People have come to the public airwaves looking for help or recourse and trying to draw attention to it. But this is perhaps the first opportunity for the judiciary to interrogate what's happening.
Interesting. Say first opportunity for the judiciary to do it. you better laugh, because you know. Anyway. Recently, there was a article by the persons who were doing the redevelopment of Bay Street, one of the chairmen there, who were talking about Junkanoo Beach, right?
Yeah.
And in essence, they're saying that Junkanoo Beach is helter skelter. They're building all kinds of makeshift. They have permits now. These people have Bahamians. Have permits to create small restaurants, beach cabanas on Junkanoo Beach. And I forgot the person's name for this particular article, but I know he's a part of that redevelopment board for Bay Street. And he is lamenting that this goes completely contrary to what the development of Bay Street organizers have put forward to the government. There's going to be a boardwalk, right? We're going to go walk along that Bay Street, that Junkanoo Beach areas. But if these people have leases, it takes put at risk the whole project of what is intended and how Bahamians are supposed to enjoy it. And I'm wondering, who's making these decisions? And is the redevelopment of Bay Street, the big overarching concept, is it being ignored, or we just flush that down the toilet and say, well, this is our product here anyway?
Well, I think the first thing you highlighted, like, who's making these decisions? It appears to be a big disconnect. It appears as if government agencies are working in silos. And even when they may be aware of another silo or what another silo has produced, they are incapable of engaging the work of that silo and sort of bringing it into the work, right? Like mainstreaming it with the work that they're doing. There seems to be no cohesion because, you know, I can appreciate if there's a larger plan for Nassau City, right, which stretches from Mackey Street in the east all the way down to where? Specifically where Nassau City ends on the western side of Bay Street. But is there a body that is dealing specifically or is exclusively in control of that development? And how does that body interact with the Downtown Nassau Partnership? How does that body interact with the Ministry of Tourism and its relevant agencies and arms operating or providing oversight for the downtown area? Where does Ministry of Works come in? The agency that grants the temporary vendors permit or the vendors permit? I think there are two types of permits or two types of vendors, those that have a permanent structure and those who are expected to pack up at the end of every day and not leave a trace of their presence there until they return.
Go on. And I hear what you're saying, right? And you mentioned permanent structures and temporary structures. But we've seen that permanent structures are being built. There's a beautiful tiki place there. Seems to be a permanent structure. And I'm not sure if this goes in the overarching plan of this Nassau Bay Street development concept. And I don't know where the development concept stands at this present time. We heard a lot of idle talk. A lot of talk say coming soon. It's coming soon. And you said, when is soon coming? Right? Then they say, oh, don't worry. Example of it, redeveloping Bay Street is we are building the U.S. Embassy. And I'm making fun of the word, we are building the U.S. Embassy. And then they said, we are building the point. And I'm making fun of we are building the point. And now the conclusion is the port street. And I'm saying the port can't be the answer to Bay Street because Bay Street still looks the same.
Absolutely.
Especially when our Minister of Tourism is announcing that we have record numbers of visitors. It has surmounted all numbers that we've had previously. And then you look and say, okay, what have we done in the past 15 years? Let's see how far I go on, right? Mm-hmm. 15 years to improve the look of Bay Street or to offer on Bay Street. What have we done?
I'm with you. I can't believe that the port is an answer to Bay Street, or that they expect the presence of the port or the completed port to just automatically generate answers or responses to Bay Street, you know, just automatically generate it.
And I beg to continue. I'm sure when the port is open, there's going to be a big celebration. All of the government officials will be present, and they will tout it as this is a stepping stone and a milestone in Bahamian tourism product, right? And they will say that the tourists will have something to do when they come off the cruise ship. They will temporarily stop in the port and experience the straw market that they have in the port. They experience the various restaurants that they have in the port. They experience some various craft and items in the port. But do they anticipate that the cruise passengers, the cruisers, will want to leave the port to come onto Bay Street to experience Nassau and New Providence as a whole? Have they considered that? Because it doesn't seem so, because they haven't put forward a plan in terms of that.
I don't expect them to be able to divert or direct tourists to Nassau proper. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because the port is going to be desperate to make its returns. The port is going to be desperate to drive its revenue. The port and all of the elements, all of the actors, all of the Bahamian businesses in the port will be compelled or evoked to focus solely on the port.
So are you saying the port will be in direct competition of Bay Street?
Of course. Of course it will. And unless, and first of all, we know that it will, because the port development and the Nassau development, these two things are operating as silos. They're not devised to work together.
Right.
They just can't.
See, this
now, that doesn't mean that we've missed the opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can still put together mechanisms to ensure that one does not negate the other. Mr. Newry, I'm gonna have to go on pause for a second. I'll let you do some talking. I got a little activity in my neighborhood, and I may just have to mute. So if you don't hear me, you'll understand why.
And I appreciate that. And see, I want to also have a conversation, and I know that Aaron wants me to have it regarding RCI. And
as you say that.
See, attempt UA. I know he's going on break. I was going to talk on RCI, but if you want to talk about it.
Just as you say that, the question of what's happening on Junkanoo Beach, is it unregulated development, right?
No. They get permits. They have permits.
But this is it. It's not unregulated development. There's a lack of cohesion and communication between the organizing bodies competing in the same space, right?
Mm-hmm.
But imagine now, you're a tourism vendor and you've read the article, Davis's change of view on RCI due to revised plans in last week's Nassau Tribune, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you read the statement where it says, Mr. Davis told reporters on Wednesday his administration approved the project partly because tourists need more attractions.
Wow.
Right? Because tourists need more attractions. You partly approve the Paradise Island RCI project because tourists need more attractions. What I'm saying is, if I was a vendor and I read that, buddy, I'm going to figure out what tourism service I'm going to provide and what little piece of public property I'm going to carve out to provide it in. I'm not waiting for approvals. I'm not waiting for permission. I'm going to attempt to establish myself and then be prepared to show the authorities why it is they cannot move me, because I'm now a vital part of the tourist product in this area.
Aaron, that's an immigrant vibe. Only immigrant does that, where they test the system by just doing things and then challenge you to come and stop them. So I hear what you're trying to suggest.
So hold on, pause. You telling me that Sebastian Bastien was an immigrant?
You see, look where you're going.
Did you say only immigrants?
You can't be talking about the ambassador that way. But anyway,
sorry, we have a
caller here. Let me pass the caller through. Talk about the ambassador like that. Pass the caller through there. For me, please, producer. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mr. New, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm fine. Aaron Green, can you hear me? Can you hear the punk? Can you hear the one and only original?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Oh, good, good. You know, you're an interesting topic, but when I read the report, it's supposed to be initiated an entertainment center stage where you have local Bohemian entertainers and international entertainers. A stage supposed to be there. You could go back to the story. Secondly, it's supposed to be a brand new central bank in the air, along with the American Embassy, like you mentioned earlier. So it will transfer with that stage developed with the Nassau port that they inject. Supposed to be developed. Are you know about that? Because I read that when it first started the port.
Tell me more about the central bank.
Well, I could tell you that the new central bank is supposed to have a gym and a babysitting center for the staff. I haven't seen the architect for it, but they've been talking about it. So that alone, Mr. Newey, is going to transform Bay Street, West Bernard area.
No, Punkinito, you know where it's going to be located? You know that's not going to be on Bay Street proper, right?
Where it's going to be located?
It's going to be in the Royal.
I mean, we're talking about the Central Bank?
The Central Bank, yes.
I believe it's supposed to be.
I
had the document a long time ago, and I got to look for it, pass it on to Aaron Green.
And I'm not sure how a building's going to change Bay Street. The private banking building's going to change the tourism product.
I think you missed one portion of it. The Nassau port is supposed to bring entertainment. When they come to local entertainment, and come now they have international guests and just sing it. That will bring the folks off the ship to want to see these entertainers. You follow where I'm going?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right, so that would be a part of it. It's not yet going to be a Nassau port. I think that they have a, what you call this roof or something, they're waiting on the bring. That'll be like a stage. The stage proponent is going to really fit it and it's supposed to come in. And that will be set up there where local likes and folks, tourists, any tourists from Paris or anywhere could come see these big time entertainers along with our Bohemian entertainers. Eric, you could go back to Google and look up in the foundation of the Nassau port. And you'll be fascinated along with Central Bank.
Absolutely. The question is this, right? All of these different, I see what you're saying. All of the different elements are taking place. And all of them together will result in an improvement of the product, right?
My
question is, are the agencies responsible sufficiently coordinated to be able not just to propel the entire project forward, but to sustain more than 5 years with the disruption of politics and election and possible administrative change?
Well, you know, they have their contracts. When new government go, government have to abide by contracts. You know that. They can't change the port. They can't tell the port you can't do that because they take them to court. That's why our court is independent. Our judiciary is independent from the executive or parliament. So that, you know, that can't happen, Aaron Green. Come on, you study law, right?
No, absolutely, but I tell you what.
Of course, the government has to pay millions of dollars. They have a contract.
But Pumpkinita,
before we go,
I'm aware of multiple situations in which stop, review, cancel has taken
not
place.
Not that one. No, you can't stop review that.
And
remember,
disrupted.
After already that came with the power, they didn't stop it.
No, I'm just saying that the potential exists that these grand ideas are disrupted by a lack of cohesion and coordination
and you
within the government system.
I want to study law. I want to sponsor my law. lordship, but if you miss something like that, it will go to court and there will be a government paying billions of dollars. Government won't do that. Whoever in power will be making a ridiculous thing. Only people will probably do that if people making noise on somewhere on Fox Hill, I mean Carmichael Road. Those kind of people who ain't got no sense will do it. But common intelligence, our behemoths, intelligence, will not do it. We go by laws.
Thank you very much, Punkinito.
All right, have a good day.
The issue here is Bay Street is not developing at the pace that it needs to be the plan or what will happen and a timeline or when will it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that the port will be in direct competition with the current Bay Street vendors immediately when the port is opened up, especially when there is no obvious development or redefining of anything that is of east of Bay Street. We can appreciate the activities, and we're not diminishing or debasing the activities that's going to be happening in the port. We're just saying that the product, the overarching main goal, main plan, the development plan of Bay Street is not seemingly working, especially when you see that the boardwalk and activities promised by the Nassau development persons is not being implemented. So this is my concern, and this is what we need to hash out. What is the overarching plan, and when is government going to start the development of Bay Street?
And who has been invited? Who is allowed to participate in it? Because my participation depends on my ability to prepare, right? And I need to know in sufficient time what the parameters the potential scope of the development are, get my investors prepared so I could do my research, right? So I could get my long-term environmental impact assessments put together as a part of my proposal, not just to the government, but to the relevant stakeholders, agencies, and businesses. And so to me, it all of these suggestions that there are spaces for Bahamians to participate, that this is going to be balanced. Bahamians are going to be prioritized. It's all just rhetoric without the actual A, mechanisms, and B, legal provisions that enable those mechanisms to engage the Bahamian investor or participant or stakeholder.
I will say this and add this to the conversation. One of the reasons why the owners, and put that in quotes, the owners of Bay Street have yet to develop any tourism product because they don't want to double their efforts, right? They are waiting on the government to fulfill their promise, right? And the promise is to build the boardwalk, and then they subsequently will change the face of Bay Street from facing inward onto the Bay Street to be facing outward towards the sea. They cannot change their buildings to face the opposite way, because there's nothing there. So government, the government negating their promise, their responsibility of building the boardwalk and whatever infrastructure they're supposed to build, has forced the owners of Bay Street not to do anything and to tarry. And we as behemoths are saying, aren't forcing these owners of Bay Street to do things. And the truth is, the government has yet to fulfill any of its promises.
But that's promises to the business owners. What about me, the Bahamian? What's going to happen once you turn all your businesses to face Bay Street?
Well, that ain't for you. It's for the tourists.
To face the port.
It's for the tourists.
That's the point. I mean, that's not the point, but that's the point, right? What about us, the stakeholder? Already, young black boys can't catch the bus safely throughout town without getting roughed up by some adult who thinks they're in control of everything and everybody. You know what I'm saying? One of the biggest missing elements from this discussion is the Bahamian stakeholder. And there is no space in governance to engage this process. If you're not a part of a particular party's political machinery, then it appears as if there's no space for you. I shouldn't have to be a part of a party. I shouldn't have to be a part of a special interest group. I shouldn't have to be on the board of a business or a quasi-governmental agency. As a Bahamian citizen, I should be prioritized as a stakeholder in this discussion.
and you're hinting towards political will, right? I will say this. Some years ago, during the 1960s, when Bay Street operators, so Bay Street Boys, were stenching in terms of development, the then administration, the PLP administration under Sir Lyndon, created Wolf Road and encouraged black-owned businesses to open up Wolf Road as an alternative. I'm watching with dismay that if indeed the current Bay Street owners are stenching development, Bay Street, a perhaps Shirley Street or further east of Bay Street to be developed, but we see that none of our administrations have implemented a plan to say we have an alternative to Bay Street. Shirley Street is right there. So the idea that Shirley Street was not developed for tourism or is not being developed for tourism shows that our government is comparable for the lack of development on Bay Street and not necessarily the in quotes, the Bay Street owners.
I mean, I follow that. And I'm not pressed to disagree with that. You know, I think that the government, see, I think the government bears overall responsibility, right? You have mechanisms in law that allow you to acquire land even when a landowner is unwilling to sell. So there is no piece of property, there is no land, no district in the Bahamas that is in disarray that you cannot fix, that you don't have the power to resolve, right? And so I feel you. I got a different point, Mr. Newry.
Go ahead.
I feel a way about any suggestion of development, any movement that moves people off of Bay, that restricts Bay Street for only particular types of activities or for particular people.
You don't want a Joneses move? The Joneses
as long as the House of Parliament is on Bay Street. Right? As long as the House of Parliament is on Bay Street, there shall be no activity that restricts access by the ordinary average Bahamian to Bay Street. There should be no activity that prevents the accommodating or accommodation of Bahamians on Bay at no time, ever.
I
think that the whole development, the cart is before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Like they jump way out the gate without considering the most fundamental factors, which is land usage and access to spaces.
And it comes right into our theme of who are we building Bay Street for? Who are we building this tourism for? With the development of Bay Street, and I'm sure eventually the moving of the taxi drivers from parking, I'm sure the moving from Bahamians in general from parking, no master plan has been put forward to say where Bahamians will get access to Bay Street. Where would they park? Or will private parking, when I say private parking, I mean parking at the Chinese hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without having either free parking or at least a Bahamian-owned parking lot that have to have Bahamians get access again to the port if they have any festival there. How and where will Bahamians park in order to get access? Or again, is this product being made for an alternative people and not necessarily us?
And let me tell you how systemic the dysfunction is, right? The lack of oversight, the lack of concern. We've got this new, we got Margaritaville, and we have this new intersection demarcated by a new traffic signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right across the entrance to Margaritaville is the place called Village Point.
Mm-hmm.
It is I don't know if it's private. It must be owned by Margaritaville now. But as you come off of Bay Street, you pass the point, you come around to the area,
mm-hmm,
where the government has, I think, the judiciary. There's one of the legal offices there, maybe the public prosecutor's or public defender's office. And then you have this tiled area right opposite the entrance to Margaritaville. It's called the Village. It has benches on it. You know what else it has on it? It has tiles on it. You know what else it has on it? It has taxis on it. And I'm trying to think to myself, In what right-thinking society did the government give Margaritaville the land, or Margaritaville acquired the land, tile the land, put benches on it, right? And then taxi drivers decided that that area was created for them to park their taxis on.
Odd. Peculiar.
As well as parking taxis on the only available roadway and sidewalk for people, not just tourists, for people to use, right, to traverse the area. This is a systemic dysfunction, or this is a dysfunction systemic in all of our systems. We are unable to prioritize the center of the project.
And we're saying Aaron, I have a caller here who want to engage you, so let's pass the caller there through producer. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasant good morning, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. I hear you this morning, Sparky here.
Go ahead, Sparky.
You know, I've seen some things around here. I wonder what is going to the planning when the architect actually sits down to do his plan. Because I remember when it came to businesses, they were supposed to have a parking area to any building in a commercial area, with 75% supposed to be for the customers and the other 25% supposed to be for staff. You go to the Grand Hospital we have coming off Elizabeth Avenue, they got a big outpatient. You're not allowed to park in there. You're not supposed to park on the side of the road. There's no place, no special place to park to the new entrance to the hospital. They block off the area where the old entrance used to be up to the main hospital. They used to go into the front there. They got a little parking lot around by Grover's Grove where you never could find no parking space. Just to the hospital now, where sick people supposed to be trying to get to the hospital to get help. If you got a bad leg or a bad back, you got to walk up a hill. If you don't have nobody to drop you there or don't have a wheelchair with somebody to push you, you got to walk up a hill with a bad leg. I have a bad knee. Mm-hmm. Thank God I had somebody to drop me to the hospital the other day.
Yeah, man. And I appreciate that. And parking is an issue. Parking is this issue. But let me read this, Aaron, right? It said, good morning. I hope the project for RCI won't damage the environment like the Disney at Gold Rock Beach in Freeport. I didn't know that happened in Grand Bahama. The dredging for the deep water for a pirate ship had a huge impact during Hurricane Dorian on the landscaping, wiping out many homes. The road that led to the beach totally eroded for almost 100 plus yards from the shoreline. This project was for the Pirates of the Caribbean filming in Grand Bahama. And this is a good time to segue back to the RCI. And I see a number of environmentalists are concerned about this project, even after the government has given permission. We see that the president, the CEO of Atlantis, has also issued out concerns and said, asking the government to pause. And it still boils down to Tourism 4. Why was this decision made? And people are critiquing the Prime Minister on whether he should have changed his mind, particularly as opposition. He was wholeheartedly against the project.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look here, you're absolutely right. Who is the tourism product for? Now, I heard you say the project has been approved, right?
Yes, it has been approved.
That's what I thought until I saw this article in the Nassau Guardian from last week that says DPM broad consultations before final RCI approval.
What?
And it goes on, though PM Davis said on Wednesday he expects ground to be broken, quote, almost immediately, close quotes, on RCI's $100 million Beach Club project on PI, Chester Cooper, because I don't recognize the Deputy Prime Minister, said broad public consultation, close quotes, will take place before the final approval is given.
Stick a pin in that, because that's madness, Aaron. I hear you, but that can't be happening. But let's take this short commercial break. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM, and Aaron is saying that the final approval hasn't been done. And I'm saying, no, that's opposite of what's being said already. We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your sponsor today? Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio, the AM with C.A. Nuri. And we're talking, whose tourism is it anyway? And before the break, we have a text here. We say, y'all are really jokey, expecting any changes you're talking about to come from central government as opposed to a municipal government. It ain't going to happen. Call for a local municipal government system. Demand it now. We've been calling for it for a while and nothing happening. So good morning, CA. Is Toby doing interviews? I see viral clips of him complaining about the condition on PI. I also saw a petition to vote against RCI. I still say the RCI thing is a done deal. So Mr. Nuri, you are a nasty person. You know just who this is. I guess I do know who that is. Oh boy. I understand that. Move the parliament to Shirley Street or East Hill Street. Okay, that's a suggestion right there. And then do what with the parliament building? But Aaron, are you still there or are you press pause?
Good morning, Bombs.
Yes, you're still there, right? What are we doing with RCI, right? You were saying that it hasn't been finalizes yet. They're going to do, I know they're supposed to do an impact study, environmental impact study, right?
Okay, right.
But I thought that was the only thing.
What I'm going to tell you is words of Chester Cooper, the Minister for Tourism, Investment, and Aviation, said broad public consultation, that's a quote, will take place before the final approval is given. Cooper made the comment in response to concerns expressed by Audrey Oswell, President and Managing Director of Atlantis Paradise Island, who yesterday said the government's approval of the project is premature, given the many unanswered questions regarding the project's environmental and economic impacts. It turns out that Atlantis has engaged the agencies responsible for either conducting or oversight for the environmental impact assessment and the environmental management plan. And they're saying that up until press time, their questions put to these agencies had not been answered. But the article goes on. Remember, the article is DPM, broad consultations before final RCI approval. Cooper said, the Department of Environmental and Physical Planning is aware of the questions raised by Atlantis, and I am satisfied that these questions will be addressed as a part of the normal process. The Bahamas has one of the most stringent processes in the world for environmental protection regarding developments. That process will be followed for all developments in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, close quote. I raise concerns there because is Atlantis the only entity that has raised questions? That is broad questions to the Department of Environmental and Physical Planning, that the questions that should be engaged in both the environmental impact assessment and the environmental management plan. What about residents and property owners or operators on small islands like Rose Island? What about regular ferry operators, right? Like, aren't there other stakeholders who have raised concerns should be engaged? They shouldn't have to raise their hand. You should engage them because you know they exist. And what about the general public? When they say broad public consultation, buddy, you might as well go talk to the Chicchanis then, because you're not talking to Bahamians.
But the good thing is Atlantis is involved. And if Atlantis is involved, definitely government would listen. Right? Don't you think so?
You know,
at least they got a response from the Deputy Prime Minister.
Right. As an emergency action, I'm glad that Atlantis engages, but we run the risk of setting a precedent where the government only responds to those entities they feel threatened by their capacity to shift or change the environment in which the government manages. The concern is that they're only going to listen to people that hire significant portions of the population. They're only going to listen to people that pay a significant amount of taxes into the taxation system. What about the average Bahamian, the average business owner, the average bus taker, the average mail boat rider? What about us?
I see we have a caller here who wants to engage us. Well, let me read this text as we engage the caller. Good day. My concern is the criminals who have ankle bracelets for serious crimes and are being arrested almost weekly for selling drugs to tourists are still allowed to rent the tourists unlicensed and uninsured scooters and other motorized vehicles. Why are these unscrupulous our number one industry? Can we force persons who have ankle bracelets from not engaging tourists? Don't they deserve to work? I'm just speaking out loud. All employment stopped for them because they are being charged before the court, but their trial date hasn't come up yet.
The only possible reason why I could see your conviction or your charge prevents you from working in the tourism industry, the only way is that the charge or conviction is directly related to the tourism industry. Like you are sexually assaulted or grievously sexually assaulted a tourist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But still, I don't think our Constitution provides for that.
But let's
think our Constitution provides for somebody to be prevented. Because what if you are self-employed and you create a business interacts with tourists? How do I prevent you from working?
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Morning.
Hope to get well soon.
Thank you.
Mr. Neary, I have a question. You were saying that Atlantis brought up started the conversation concerning the environmental assessment. Shouldn't that have been done before granting RCI what they were granted?
And Aaron, I actually addressed that last time. So this is typical. When they give permission, then the environmental impact study goes into effect afterwards. So this apparently is a standard thing.
And they're going to tell you that it's like permission in principle, right? But the whole process is bastardized. That people argue that they've invested far too much in the project so far for this environmental impact assessment to prevent them from moving forward, if not, you know, if only with a modified plan.
Yes. I see we have another caller here, Aaron. Let's pass a caller through, producer. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes. Morning to you guys.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm fine, man. Listen, very timely topic, you know, and a lot of the things that you guys are saying, it's in the mix. I mean, like, it's in the mix. But, Mr. Neary, one of the things I want to start out first by saying is, I heard you talk about Disney and what's going on down there by their development. Well, that is a spin-off of the repercussion. See, when you talk about Royal Caribbean, you have to also talk about global ports. Global ports is one of the dominating port development and container transshipment in the world. Okay? And so, like Aaron said, and that was so brilliant, our government has to be blamed. And then Sparky called, and again, the people that are responsible for negotiation, that's the beginning. Okay. Mr. Davis said he was going to look into the Global Ports Agreement and all that kind of thing. I want to start off. When I realized that Global Port intent or has already built a hospital on the Prince George Dock, I said, wow, look at what our hospital is going through right now. Now, you go right back and ask Global Port those where else they run a port that has two decent hospitals 5 minutes away from the port or less. See, if you know anything about them, they come to do what they're doing. So Disney and like Carnival, where and how far?
Carla, we have to go. We ran out of time. I was listening to you say that they have a hospital there, and that's something interesting. But we gotta go. Anyway, Guardian Radio in the AM with CA Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron. We're gonna talk more about this later on. Have a wonderful day.